Pirate's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show, you know what to do. Just text me and we will respond. I got a ton of texts to get to, so don't fret. We will get to those in a short order. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my friend, represents you guys in West Mobile in the Alabama legislature. I call him Doc, but Representative Mark Shirey joins us on the program. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am well, Jeff. It's a beautiful day here in West Mobile, just a little bit hot.
Yeah, I guess this is we're going to have to endure it for the next few months, but that's the price you pay for living down here, and not to complain about that at all. How's it been since signing die? You getting caught up?
Well, we're trying to catch up. As you know, I'm an eye doctor, so patients get backed up a little bit. So we're still in the process of working through that, but kind of a frustrating end to this session there.
It was, and I stick by this. It wasn't because of you guys in the House. It was just sort of the internal politics of the Senate. There were some efforts made to try to fix that, but probably a little late. And now maybe they have learned, at least the leadership there, Republican leadership, will institute some rule changes. If we're going to have a system where the Alabama legislature is going to play such a role in sort of local issues, then there needs to be fewer impediments, one would think.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Traditionally, you do not get involved in everyone's local bills. Just a lot of hard feelings there. So I think some changes are in order.
Yeah, and what got left on the table for you? You speak of the frustrating aspects of it, but did Mobile County, I guess, what needs to be revisited in 2026?
So as far as our local bills, I think we did those early. So we were okay there. My bill, HB 176, which would remove the state portion of sales tax on glasses and contact lens, I passed it unanimously from the House committee. I passed it unanimously on the House floor and passed it unanimously from the Civic committee. But I could not get it to a vote on the Senate floor on that last day. So that was pretty frustrating.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that one for a little bit. That one passes unanimously. You think it gets done in the Senate if it gets to the floor?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It's a non-controversial bill, and it's good. It's a tax break that affects every walk of life, and really it affects our elderly population even more just because of the nature of their prescription makes it more expensive for them. So the taxes are higher. So that's just a good bill. It's a medical device. I think it's the only medical device left that the state actually taxes. So I don't think it should have ever been taxed to begin with.
How far do we go with that? So some of the pushback on this, and I'm not, this is not me speaking, but a lot of local governments, when you guys start cutting these taxes, they get a little antsy because I guess the anticipated response or the expected response from a lot of people is that the local government sort of falls in line and goes along with you guys, and they're not as receptive to that, let's say.
Well, I think that's the case in some situations, but and we traditionally and especially this legislature has not forced the issue with the county and the city municipalities. We allow them to opt in if they want to. There were some rule changes on that, a period where they had to really investigate what they were doing. So we've included that with the bill this time. So that's where the local constituents would need to lobby their county and their city councils and get that on the docket and get it passed. The hearing aid bill, they've done that in several municipalities, but there is a little bit of a pushback. Anytime you want to remove any type of revenue from cities and counties, there's a little bit of pushback there.
Yeah, and then that's where you, I guess, you know, most everybody agrees, but then that's probably where you hear is like, hey, you guys do this, they're going to expect us to do it too, and we're not crazy about having to cut that tax.
Well, I got some calls from the League of Municipalities when the bill first came out, and it was written wrong to begin with, and it actually did not opt out the cities and counties, but I had immediately caught that error and refiled the bill. And they came out against it to begin with, and I gave them a call and said, hey, you guys need to read the new bill. And they were totally happy with it after that. So,
well, what do you anticipate 26 looking like? Because this is your first goal around in the quadrennium, but historically, from watching it over the years, it's been, hey, let's pass the budget to go home. But this time it may be a little different because I think there's a lot more loose ends to tie up that got left over from the previous year.
I think you're absolutely correct. There are some loose ends that we need to do. I'm like you. I don't expect anything really controversial like we've had for the last 3 years. But there are some things that need to be taken care of. My bill has been pre-filed. It's HB 15 now, so hopefully I can get that done really early so I don't run into the same situation the next term. But there are some local bills that still need to be done. And there's some pretty good legislation that died on the floor that we'll have to take up. But I don't think there's anything really controversial that's coming up, not like the veterans bill or the alpha bill or anything like that. And I don't expect gambling's coming up anytime soon.
Yeah, the gambling, you probably have to wait till the next quadrennium and a new governor. But that could be the only thing that I could see, and I don't anticipate this happening at all. You do have Kay Ivey on her way out. Maybe she wants to have one last go at something, whatever that could be. I don't know. But as she sort of cements her legacy and winds things down. But other than that, it's hard to imagine, and this is not just gambling, but anything of that magnitude.
I totally agree with you, Jeff.
Let's kind of talk about this, though. I assume you're running for your seat again. What are you, and am I correct in that?
Yes, sir. I am running again.
Well, so what are you looking at here? There's a lot of loose ends, as we said, that need to be tied up, but obviously next year's not going to be the year to do it. What do you hope to accomplish with another term?
Well, like I say, there are some loose ends that we're probably not going to take up the next time, but I'm really concerned about the IVF bill. I worked on that bill quite a bit. We got the fix in place, but it was a temporary fix, and we need to do a permanent fix. That's a very, very, very difficult bill. A lot of people on each side of that bill, so that's one that's going to be very, very hard to get taken care of. But that's one thing that I do want to see fixed in the next term.
Well, so what do you codify, like the immunity, or like does it need to be spelled out? You're right, this is very difficult. How can that be done in a way? You're not going to obviously make everybody happy, but clearly, I guess you can't operate sort of on this patchwork forever.
Yeah, you can't operate on blanket immunity. Something's going to happen. You can't operate on blanket immunity, but we need to. There's several places in the law where things will have to be changed to allow the IVF to continue, and it does need to continue. I'm absolutely a proponent for IVF. We've got a lot of children out there that would have never been born or never had a chance if it weren't for IVF. So I'm absolutely a proponent for that.
Well, and that issue, I mean, I don't even know where you start, Representative, because And I think it's a lot of this could fall on you, right? Because, I mean, this is sort of in your backyard where this sort of all unfolded. And, you know, the clinics want one thing, and then you obviously you have a very vocal sort of anti-IVF situation, too, in some corners. But, like do you... Is it just putting limitations on embryos, or like how into the details do you think that needs to go?
You know, I think we're going to have, there's probably four sides to this issue. I think if we can dig into all the different facets, it's going to be tough. And we've got groups working on that even now. I've been working for a year. Very difficult. I think when we finally come out with a bill, if we can get all four groups, or four sides of this issue to not be happy with a bill, I think that'll probably be a good bill. It's just a compromise between different parts. But it's, you know, it has to be a bill that allows IVF to continue. And it needs to continue without, you know, total restrictions, because if you put that many restrictions, you're going to limit the success. And when you do that, that's not fair to those parents. That's really not fair to those parents.
Well, and I guess it got put on the back burner. Whenever I talked to the speaker about it, he wanted to wait and see what the Trump administration was going to do. But I don't know that, you know, with everything going on there, that you're going to get the resolution, any sort of resolution coming out of the federal government.
Right. There's a couple of things that we're waiting on for the federal government. I had a bill this time that I pulled. It's an artificial intelligence bill that insurance companies are using to adjudicate claims. We had that in place, and we had a public hearing, but then all the factions got involved, and they wanted to change the bill. So I pulled the bill so we can work on it some more. And now there's a federal bill that wants to put a moratorium on any type of artificial intelligence bill for 10 years. So if that passes, you know, that would make my bill a moot point. But we're going to continue to work on it through the summer and before the session. But things like that, we are waiting on the federal government to make some decisions.
Well, and wind it down on this, and I stand by this. I think the speakers, this leadership, and having watched the legislature for a while now, and especially under Republican control, because Republicans really haven't been in control since only since the end of 2010. But I think Speaker Ledbetter has done a pretty decent job. I mean, he's, you know, we can disagree on gambling and things like that. But I, you know, for once, it feels like the Democrats aren't, they're not able to do their usual obstruction game. You know, the quorum's a lot better. Things start on time. Things kind of move. And you know, here you are. Things have gotten back to where the House is getting the job done. And upstairs in the Senate, that's where the problem lies. But that's sort of always been the dynamic historically.
I think you're right. And I think Speaker Ledbetter has done an excellent job. Just from the one thing, starting on time. I'm a big person about, you know, if you're on time, you're late. So I'm usually in my seat early, and I'm watching that clock. And usually, you know, I'll look up at the clock, and when that clock strikes, you know, say we're coming in at 1 o'clock. When it strikes one, he's usually hammering the gavel, which is that's a big plus. And he does really well with negotiating things, and you know. Republican or Democratic bill, if it's a good bill, it's a good bill. And I'm all for that. If it's a Democratic bill that we can get passed and it's something that's good for the state, hey, let's pass that bill. And I think he's done really good with that. And Joe Lerman with the Rules Committee, I think he's done a really excellent job also, as well as our two budget chairs. So I think the House is working pretty good. Could we improve? Probably there's some things that we could improve on, but by and all, I think we've done a pretty good job in the House. We just got to get their bills passed through the Senate.
It was always like frustrating to, and this was supposed to be the first, and it remains a frustration in the Senate. But you don't really have that anymore. You don't have, like, you know, and John Rogers or whoever, the Hank Sanders types, you know, just going to the floor and spouting off nonsense that they're enforcing the rules. and it's running like I think it's supposed to by the book, and it's not, you know, hey, we had a hard go at this with Mike Hubbard, and he was sort of an authoritarian. We need to be a little looser, but now that time has passed, and it's supposed to be it's supposed to be more business, more formal than what it had been.
I think you're absolutely correct, and I think that's one thing that the leadership has brought is a little bit better sense of professionalism.
Yeah, and just having sat through that, it was a frustration. But anyway, Representative, we got to leave it there. But you're very kind to give us a little time this morning. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Love to be on with you, Jeff. You have a good summer.
You do the same. State Representative Mark Shirey there, going back to being an eye doctor, giving us a little time this morning on the program. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Song of the South, sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone with the wind, they ain't